Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, probably a verse that you've memorized. You should have it highlighted in your Bible. It's a good one. There was a crazy weed that was taking over my yard. So I put down some pretty powerful weed and feed. And sure enough, most of my lawn died. It became barren. And I thought in my naivete that the good grass would take over where the evil grass used to grow and everything would be fine, but it didn't work that way. And so I went and bought some of that super seed that says, you know, it will grow grass on brick. And it was coated with this little green stuff. And I tossed that over all the bare spots. What could be easier than tossing a little seed? And if you'll recall, this past spring, we had abundant rain coming, and we thought it was going to be like last year all over again, where we had, oh, just such a surplus. It didn't quite turn out that way, but it was good seasonal rain that we had through the spring and early summer, and my little green seeds just stayed little green seeds there and just rotted right there on the ground. Maybe I should have tossed them on brick. I don't know. But then finally, a neighbor came by and said, you know, if you really want grass to grow, there's only one way to do it. You got to scratch up the soil, dig out all those weeds. You've got to put down a fresh patch of topsoil. Then you got to place your seeds on top of that. And then you got to cover it with another layer of topsoil. And then make sure it's watered at least a couple times a day. And so following those instructions, it took about a week to 10 days. But finally, I saw these little sprouts coming up. You know, growing grass, we redid the parking lot, right? You probably noticed that we had these veins of grass growing throughout our parking lot. We sprayed that stuff with every killer you can imagine. Steve Gephardt sprayed it, and Jim Border sprayed it, and who else? Somebody else sprayed it. I sprayed it, too. There were four of us. Ron Strine, he sprayed it. We all sprayed it. And still the grass comes poking up through the pan. I can't get it to grow on my lawn, and it's growing in the parking lot. How in the world does that work? But if you want the good stuff, you got to do it right. Scattered seed on dry, hard soil is wasted prayer. America's got some pretty hard, dry soil, and we're praying these scattered seed prayers. Oh, Lord, bring revival. Oh, Lord, bless the missionaries. Oh, Lord, make everything right. Oh, Lord, protect our police officers. Oh, Lord, bless our army. You know, we're just scattering the winds, carrying away. Well, I hope that will catch somewhere. And then we look up a couple years later. Oh, Lord, things are worse than they were before. My seed isn't catching. What's going on here? If you're going to pray, you got to do it right. That's why we study prayer. We learn how we're supposed to do this thing. And today we're going to talk about the concept of intercession. Intercession. Father, we come to you today and we ask you to help us to pray. I mean, everything about that. There are some of us who think we're pretty good prayers. You must roll your eyes and shake your head. I mean, really, Lord, take us to a new level. Show us, teach us how to pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a pretty crazy weed taking over the planet. It grows quickly, and as it grows, it shoots out these vines. And wherever the vines go, they set down roots, and then they shoot out more vines. And in no time at all, they can take over an entire society. They can turn a people from peaceful and prosperous to chaotic and impoverished, just like that. The weed is sin. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In other words, righteousness builds us up and sin tears us down. Follow God and you are strengthened. Turn away from him and it all comes to nothing. You're headed in a right and good direction when you're following the Lord. He prospers and he blesses. But it has been the history of mankind that in the middle of prosperity, Man begins to credit himself rather than his God, turns to other gods, other worships, and it all begins to decay from inside. The evidence is all around us, the disintegration of the family, the expanse of immorality. Did you ever think it would get this bad? Immorality, just even on television, on nightly entertainment, the disintegration of the family, the expanse of immorality, the cheapening of human life from discarding the unborn to refusing care to the elderly, to violence in our city streets. I grew up in an America where hardly anybody locked their doors. Rape was a severe and rare crime. I don't know if you've done this, but you can go on Megan's List just to check out your neighborhood. There's hardly a neighborhood in America where there's not a registered sex offender. Those are the ones that are registered. How many know that sex offenders don't register on their own? You don't have open enrollment and they go right. So how many unregistered ones? Actually, we are training a whole generation, of sex offenders. Well, we don't even call it offenses anymore. Sexting, pornography, and it's gotten its roots deep into the church and caused such problems. We could talk about the debt weed. Too many people think of a raise in their credit limit as a raise in salary. Spend, spend, spend. We wave our smartphone and do dumb things with it now. Expenses that ought not be. I read an article just the other day. It's become a real problem in schools. Kids are ordering their lunches to be brought in to them. You know, DoorDash and so on. Maybe they'd rather have Pizza Hut, or maybe it's Taco Bell today. And so they're having their lunches brought. They're in high school, and they're having their lunch delivered to them. And it's causing security and traffic and a lot of difficulties. And you say, well, who could afford that? You know, the lunch isn't being served there, isn't good enough, can't pack enough. Why go to all the trouble? Just DoorDash, just bing, 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 bing. A lot of our teenagers have more disposable income than we do. Unemployment is so low that a lot of our teenagers have very good paying jobs. One of our administrators was telling me he's got a boy in high school, drives a big Dodge truck, you know, Ram on steroids. Boom, ba 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 ba. Pay cash for it. Works part time at one of the and during the summers and so on. It is disposable income. Well, a lot of people don't have disposable income, but they're disposing of it anyway. Just DoorDash now, deliver my food. The Bible says that the righteous leave an inheritance behind, but more and more Americans are leaving nothing but debt behind. The average consumer who cannot afford it has $10,000 worth of credit card debt. And when you have that much debt, you're paying the highest interest on all of that. Washington, D.C., like people, like government, we now raise the debt ceiling to borrow enough money to pay the interest. We don't touch the principal. We only pay interest on all of our loans. And of course, the people who hold our notes, they love us, right? They're on our side. Yeah, the Chinese and other nations, we're indebted to them. Gambling used to be illegal. Now the state sponsors it. I grieve. I go to the grocery store and I see these moms and these grandmas handing $20 bills to little kids and letting them play the machine. Ooh. God, what are we teaching? Alcohol wasn't causing enough damage, and opioids weren't killing enough of us, so let's legalize marijuana for recreational use. Now, hear me. I have no problem with it for medicinal purposes, and it's doing good for some people. God, hallelujah. Thank God for it. But for recreational purposes, hey, join a volleyball team, you know, play bingo. Recreational use. We're purposely sowing the seeds that will choke us to death. We desperately need revival. 63% of people polled said, yes, it's okay with them to legalize marijuana for recreational use. Funny how the polls have all gotten flip-flopped in the last 10 years. We've been re-educated without knowing we've been re-educated. It wasn't our thought. It wasn't the way we used to think. It wasn't common. There was a little more sense that was common, but it's all gotten turned around. We desperately need revival. Our nation will not survive another generation of decline. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I can't imagine a person trying to do his job when people are constantly trying to get him out of office. I'm talking about our president. You go from one issue to another. There will be no peace, there will be no rest. And I don't know that it was much better with the last president. And let's see your birth certificate. And let's say, my heart. You know, it's what James said. If we keep on doing this, we are going to devour one another. We're going to destroy ourselves from the inside out. Our nation will not survive another generation of decline. We've got to get this ship righted. As we've been preaching in this series, we've been given authority as humans to rule. But we've been allowing the unredeemed to carry the conversation for far too long. And far too many believers have a fatalistic view of it all. Well, you know, the Bible says things will get worse in the last times, and so it's getting worse, and so what else did we expect? Let's just huddle together and take care of ourselves until it's all over. We'll wake up in the morning and we'll be in heaven and everything will be fine. God has given us authority and promises that if we will pray, He will heal our land. We have a responsibility. We have been given authority. We will answer for what God has given to us. What did you do with the time that you had? How did you spend your life? Was it only taking care of you and yours? Did you have any heart for the things that God has a heart for? You can't be those scattered prayer seeds tossed into the wind, hoping they'll take root. Intercession is where you go between. You invest yourself. You give of yourself. You sacrifice in order to pray on behalf of others or another. It's not particularly your cause. You're not in that office. It's not your responsibility, but it is your responsibility. You own it. You adopt it. You take it on. The work of an intercessor to intercede is to intervene on behalf of another. You get involved. There's a commercial on television. I don't know if you've seen it, but a young lady's walking down the hallway and she sees down the stairs that there's a little girl getting picked on, and so she runs down the steps to intervene. It wasn't her fight, but she's going to get involved in the middle of that. There's been a series on television. I haven't even watched an episode. I've just seen the commercials on it, but the title of it is, What Would You Do? And they'll set up a scene where somebody's getting picked on or whatever, and it's all staged to see what the people around will do. Will they get involved or not? And those that step forward and get involved, of course, they're heroes. Those who just, oh, that's too bad, and go on, well, they're the normal person, I suppose. Some synonyms to intercede, mediate, act as an intermediary, intermediate, negotiate. These are the things that we volunteer to do. We say, Lord, here I am. Jesus, use me. And we often think of that in the context. If you would have me say something to somebody else, and that it is. Lord, help me to live a life that shines for you. Whatever good deed you want me to do, I will do. All that's important. But where it really comes home is in our prayer life. Giving of ourselves when nobody else sees, nobody else hears, we are fighting that battle, the war room. I'm going to war right now. I'm going to take to task the devil and all of his wicked deeds. God gave people authority. The devil hijacked it in the garden when they decided to listen to him rather than the Lord. Jesus had to come in human form in order to win back what we gave away. He wears the victor's crown. He is the intercessor. What we gave away, he will restore. There is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. So the devil is the ruler of the air, the Bible tells us. But Jesus came to break the power of the devil. And in Jesus' name, we can overcome what has been lost, what has been destroyed, if we will. If we decide, if we give of ourselves. Jesus mediates between us and God. The Bible says in John 1:18, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus came down to represent God to us. We were lost. We were gone. Jesus didn't have to bother. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. I came to save the world. He got involved. And oy vey, at what a price, amen. He took the nails. He took the scars. He died on that cross. He was our intercessor. He brought God to us. He became human in order to become our faithful high priest and represent us to God. He not only brought God to us, he takes us to God. A high priest represents people. They would take the blood of the sacrifice. They would give it to the high priest. He would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would offer that sacrifice, hoping that it was pleasing and acceptable to God, and he would intercede. And his sinful people became holy in those moments. Forgiveness was given. Grace was displayed. And they were clean because of the actions of the high priest. You see, a mediator doesn't represent just one person. He represents both parties. When you go to mediation, you get a player who doesn't feel like he's being paid enough by his contract. And you have a team who has them under contract. They might go to a mediator. And the mediator might say, now let's see. It's best for the team if this fellow plays, if he's happy. This fellow's not going to play because other people get, online. He represents both. Let's be reasonable here, is what a mediator would say. When we counsel somebody, if we're smart, if we're a good counselor, we don't take sides. We care about the relationship. And we dig in and we find out and we try to learn. We try to go with an open heart. And our heart is to bring the two parties together. Jesus Christ is our intermediary. He's our intercessor. He brought God down to us and he takes us up to God. And he intervened in the wrath of God. And he poured out on us the love of God. And he put in our hearts, he removed that wickedness and that evil and that questioning, that doubt about God. And he put love for God in our hearts so that we now go to the Lord in a completely different attitude than we used to. We now understand about the Lord. He's our intercessor. He took the lashes. He died on the cross. He paid the debt. Jesus' blood satisfied the debt of our sin. So when we pray in Jesus' name under his authority. I don't go with my authority. Well, Lord, you know, I've been very good this week. I didn't get angry, but maybe twice. And, I bit my tongue over. Oh, you know, that was a tough one. And I didn't kill that guy on the highway, even though I wanted to. So, I come, on the authority of Joel's holiness, you know how far that would get me? It would show me the exit. I come in the name of Jesus. How powerful would that be? Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. You could hear a hush over all of heaven. The name of Jesus. The devil and all of his imps stop in their tracks. The name of Jesus. And we begin to pray by the power of the Holy Spirit exactly what God wants us to pray. And the world begins to change. Things begin to happen. You know, I no longer live in Lake Mead. I used to, but I no longer live in... Now, I pull up to the gate. Who are you? Joel Everhart. So what? Well, I know Joe and Kathy Altland. They live on McCandless Drive, and the gates swing open wide. I know somebody, and therefore the gate opens up. I walk up to heaven. I'm a credentialed minister with the Assemblies of God. So what? Oh. I know Jesus. What is it you need? What does he want? Well, you know, things are a mess down here. And here's what we need. If you don't know Jesus, your prayers aren't getting anywhere. They're not making it to the Father. There's only one mediator, one intercessor, the man Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says, Jesus is the apostle. An apostle is one sent on a mission. An apostle brings us the news. So God to us. And high priest, that is us to God. He represents us to God of our confession. Jesus is the one whose name we use. And when we use that name, one of the things I read, article, book, whatever it was, he said the first thing we should do whenever we go to pray is think about who we're praying to. And Jesus taught us that. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Don't just start praying. Think about who you're praying to and what you're doing. Because if you just take those few months, who am I praying to? Whoa, creator of heaven and earth. Can he do something about the mess we're in? Dude. In a heartbeat. So forget with your rote prayers and your, you know, repetitions and lists and duty, and get a little awe on you before you start to pray. Maybe even just envision those gates open and wide, that veil being torn. What is it you need today? What is it you want? It's a much more holy thing, this prayer, than we have imagined. Not a simple, God, please send revival, but a travailing, uprooting, ground-busting, seed-planting, covering, watering kind of praying. Many have described it as giving birth. Get pregnant with a need and give it birth in travailing prayer. How long will these labor pains take? Until. When you go to the Lord in prayer, Lord, is there a cause, or are there causes you want me to champion on your... Often when I go to prayer, I think of myself as a howitzer, a big gun. Lord, where do you want to aim me today? Or what things do you want me to hit? What targets do you have for me today in prayer? What should we assail? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Which gates do you want me to hit today, God? Where are we supposed to send our shells? If we humble ourselves and pray, turn from our wicked ways, he will hear and heal our land. It's not easy to grow grass where weeds want to live. It's not easy to bring revival to a land steeped in sin, hopped up on lust, greed, and violence. It gets worse all the time. Have you seen the trailers on television about the new movie Joker? Even theaters are posting signs. It's rated R for a reason. Keep your children at home. This one's dark. This one's deeper dark than what you've seen before. I suppose Hollywood is doing that to get people's curiosity up so they flock to it, I suppose. Sort of like if it was posted on the news, we're sorry, but we got the sewer and water lines mixed up. You ought not drink the stuff for a while. And people would run to the sink and, ooh, I want to see what that's like. That's how stupid this is. We made a dark, dark film about a demented mind. We needed encouragement along that lines, didn't we, in our society? People are so sane today, and everybody's so loving and peaceful. We don't have any trouble with demented people. And so what we ought to do is make demented movies that will encourage, make a hero out of a nut, out of a killer. Explain the behavior. We go right along. Yes, well, he's right. That's the solution. That's who we ought to. Jennifer Lopez, beautiful lady. Engaged to A-Rod. Read an article about how her and his kids are getting along. Painting the picture of an upright mother and loving family. And America's family, you might say, these days. The commercials on her last film. Three prostitutes, what I take of it from the commercial. To take your beauty and to take your popularity. Did she need the money? I don't think so. This America is your sweetheart. This is who we are. I grieve. I grieve. I grieve. I grieve over what we're teaching our children, our young people. And when we go to these movies, whether we take them along or not, when we stream it into our houses on the different networks that are permitted today, when we don't even have a conversation about it with them and say, well, look, as a young person in Christ, we don't drink at those troughs. That's not who we are, and this is why we don't do that. Well, all my friends have seen Joker. Keep your eye on those friends. See what becomes of them. See what happens. Jesus did not do all he did in order to become any. Oh. Time keeps ticking away. Fortunately, I know the adult Sunday school teacher, and it's okay with him if I go over a little bit, right? Jesus did not do all he did in order to become an ineffective high priest. He came to win the battle. He wears the victor's crown. He did it to open up the armory of heaven to defeat the devil. Use those weapons. Take them up. God, give them to me. Show me how to do this. Teach me how to intercede. Give me a higher caliber weapon than I had before. I'll hurry on here. Our prayers carry the weight of who Jesus is when we pray in his name. God has limited himself to working through humans when it comes to this planet. It is necessary for us to pray in order for God's kingdom to come, in order for his will to be done. We were born to make a difference. You are not a waste. As a human, you carry a set of gifts and a responsibility. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Father, this is your promise. We are seeking your righteousness. I am seeking your righteousness. I don't want to be caught up with the rest of the world. I don't want to be in that stream that flows from the sewer. I want to be in that stream that flows from God. Lord, I repent of my sin. Lord, I come in for cleansing. Lord, I come before you. And I implore you, I intercede for those who are lost and dying, those who need you the most. You walk in the power of God when you walk in the Spirit of God, when you pray in Jesus' name. Man your station, and let's pray revival down on this nation. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, I need you.